I'd say networking has been a huge part of what's made us successful over the past few years, really being on the ground, getting in front of different managers, getting in front of different family offices, different companies. Many of the people that work on our diligence teams have direct experience on the operations side, myself included. So it's been really great to have the opportunity to kind of look at things that maybe are a little bit more niche. Not that we don't do the old school stuff too. Many of our members do. But we're trying to provide that little bit of diversified access to alternative assets in particular.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And, you know, I know you mentioned that you're agnostic and investing into different alternatives. What are some of the recent deals that you've seen come across your network? And what type of deal structures have they had that made it interesting?
Yeah, I think for us, the past couple of deals that we've done have largely been kind of more traditional private equity, private credit deals. We do tend to like things that maybe are a little bit more niche in nature, like search funds, so microcap PE, things that are difficult to scale. But again, given our investor network, that we've got people that have either been directly successful as searchers themselves or have had direct experience with some of the more reputable managers in the space. So those types of things have been very interesting to us recently, especially just given where interest rates are.
That makes total sense. Yeah. And I know you mentioned networking. So how would you define networking?
It's a good question. That's a big question. I would say for us, networking is really giving people the means to come into contact with each other and ask questions that ultimately are beneficial for them as individuals. So that's a big part of our platform, is giving people the opportunity to come and ask questions as they navigate, for most, you know, relatively new wealth, trying to figure out not only how to manage that wealth, but also some of the ancillary things that they're dealing with, whether it's like, how do I raise my children to still be good humans, given that they're going to be, you know, inheriting this large chunk of cash? How do I navigate tax strategies, things like that? So really creating both virtual and in-person environments for people to ask those questions very candidly and get honest responses from people who have walked the walk.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's about adding value first and just being a good human being. I mean, we heard that over and over from Jeff. We heard that from Ken. And I think in the end, we all do business, but we're all people. And I think that's the most important thing that we need to remember. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Alan?
Well, what a great lead-in. Thank you for it. You know, rather than bore anybody with my checkered past, I thought about the question and said, one of the things I'm most proud of, and that's having been president and chairman of the board of the Boy Scouts out here, where we've helped 14,000 kids. Oh my God. In between, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I start companies because I look at problems out there and say, God damn it, it's got to fix it. How many people in the room invest in alternatives, Reg D's or whatever? Oh, my goodness, a lot. Having started a family office at Shinnecock Partners, I think, and then forming this new company called A-Share-X, think about the deal structures that we do. They're terrible in Reg D structures. Think about it. A money manager says, Alan, this asset is worth 30, 50 million, whatever it is. And you say, well, how do I know that? What's the market price? Well, that's the price that I bought it at. I said, there's got to be a better solution. So we spent the last 3 years building a tech stack to create the opportunity to auction off those type of assets, because fractionalization is a big deal in alternatives, where you can have a fractional bidder compete against each other against 100% bidders. Voila. All of a sudden, you get a market-based price to invest at. How attractive is that? Then, tilting at windmills further, every lawyer said, oh, Snyder, how are you going to evidence ownership? I said, well, we'll get a security. We'll get it through the SEC. Every lawyer I knew said, no way, it's not happening. As I said, I tilted windmills. We did get through the SEC. Battered and bruised, maybe a little bit, but we got through, and so we have this model to fractionalize and create these auction systems around any alternative asset. Think about a Reg D in real estate. This is better. you get a common stock with a secondary trading market, let's be honest, probably a little thin. That gets to the last point.
Amen.
How often have all of us that raised our hands about alternative investing said, well, wait a minute, when do I get to sell the asset? The manager says, no, no, Alan, you're too dumb. We'll sell it for you, and we have your best interests at heart. And I say, well, yeah, but you're charging 1.5-2% annual management fee. Do you think that's a conflict? Oh, no, we have your best interests at heart. And I said, gosh darn it, there has to be a better way. So, in this new system that we've created, I said, something novel. Let's give the shareholders the ability by a simple majority vote, in case the secondary market is trading at a discount like a closed-end fund, let's give them the power to sell and foresell the underlying asset. Novel, right? And there are no annual fees. That's really shocking. So we created this. Now, here's the fun part. We did our first auction. Took 3 years to build this thing. It's a full-on trading system. It's ugly to do. We did it in November. We processed 457 bids in 4 minutes. Wow. We issued the shares. The fractional holders who were bidders won. 22 of them won. So we issued the shares. Now, we're focusing because out of the family office that I started when I quit Wall Street, we've been lenders against museum quality fine art. Think Picasso's, Basquiat's, all that jazz. But I said, if I were to pick the best investment today in art, what would I pick? We partnered with a company called Inversion Art. They are like the Y Combinator in the art world. They nurture up-and-coming emerging artists with contemporary art. Holy smoke. They check the tax returns. We're talking, you guys, due diligence. It counts. They do that. We pick 6 artists, 10 artworks, and hold on to your boots. We said at the end of March, we're going to hold an auction and auction all 10 of those artworks as a single portfolio. Now you can be a venture capitalist in the art world. And I think I'm out of time. One last thing on the due diligence. Having grown up in the securities business, I used to write a lot. I still do occasionally. If you want to hear 300 questions to torture any manager, I've published 9 articles. It's on the Shinnecock.com website about doing due diligence. I think you'll find them fun and useful to use. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Can we have a round of applause for the panel?